Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 188 for Tuesday, December 27th. Hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas. And on this week's podcast, we've got TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. Shannon, how was your Christmas?
Christmas was good. Happy holidays, everybody. Hope you enjoyed being with your families and spending good time with them. And man, I can't wait. This is going to be a nerve-wracking week, but I'm ready to get it on. It's time to go. So happy holidays. Let's go, Frogs. It's time to go.
Did you get anything fun for Christmas this year?
Not so much fun. I always enjoy watching the kids and seeing what everybody else gets because I do the best Christmas shopping for myself. So I don't want anybody to mess that up. So I keep it light. I tell people exactly what I need. Give me this, give me that. You know, a little bitty stuff. You know, my kids are now old enough to buy gifts, have jobs. So I don't want to break the bank because at the end of the day, I end up giving it right back, right? So I went a little Christmas shopping today for myself and did a little Amazon stuff. So it's all good, man.
Nice. You're like me. It's always about the kids during this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, also joining us tonight, we've got Nathan Hernandez. Nathan, how you doing?
I got a lot of rest yesterday because I, for Christmas, sat in bed and played video games all day.
There you go. Sounds like you made a Christmas for yourself as well. That's awesome. What were you playing, just out of curiosity?
Did you hear me?
No, I didn't hear you. Sorry. Missed
it. Oh, sorry. Lego Star Wars.
Lego Star Wars. Okay. All right. Which episode? I'm joking. Rounding out tonight's panel, we've also got Nick Howard. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing good. I feel like a bowling ball with all that food I ate yesterday, but, you know, I'm making it through.
Yeah, I tell you, my brother decides every Christmas that he wants to be the guy to bring the dessert, and it's never one dessert. It's multiple desserts, and, man, it just – oh. And then they left it all at our house because, of course, we were hosting this year. It's just crazy. I'm going to have to fast for the next week. It's just absolutely insane.
I kept saying I'm going to go for one.
Did you have a good Christmas, Nick?
Oh, yeah, I had a good one. You know, kept going for multiple plates of peach cobbler and sweet potato pies. Oh, can't complain.
Man, that sounds awesome. No, you can't complain after a Christmas like that. Well, and hopefully the Frogs don't complain too much this week because we've got the big game coming up this Saturday against Michigan. We're all looking forward to this semifinal playoff action against Big Blue. And the team's already arrived in Arizona, and we are going to be definitely giving you some coverage as we kind of go on throughout the week. In fact, Nathan and I will probably be leaving Thursday night, heading out towards Arizona. It'll be a road trip for the two of us, so that'll be a lot of fun. But we'll definitely give you guys some updates as we go along. But the big game is going to be about how the Horned Frogs can stop Michigan's run offense, which, according to Coach Dykes, is the key to the game. A little bit of a quote, or at least what the media wants to call a controversial topic or a statement from Coach Dykes, which I don't know how that's controversial in any way, shape, or form. It's like a coach saying, hey, in order for us to win, we need to score more than the other team. But it's being made that way this week. But let's talk about this. Last week, if you didn't hear last week's episode, we kind of went through TCU's offense versus Michigan's defense, and Shannon made some really good points about how Michigan's defense stacks up against the Frogs' offense, and you can go back, take a listen to that if you want to later on to catch up. But this week, it's all about the other side of the ball, Michigan's offense against TCU's D. And Shannon, man, on paper, Michigan's offense looks to be even with the prime injury to Michigan's star running back. This offense still looks really, really stout.
Well, we're going to face a really good Michigan offense. There's no doubt about it. And Coach is right on some of the keys. I have those. That's kind of what I've been studying. I went back and, again, for the second time, watched the Ohio State-Michigan game. And the bottom line is the key to this game. I'll tell you, what Michigan does really well is you know, that you're going to have to stop the run. They're going to line up and try to play bully ball with you, especially us. I see them trying to play bully ball, and that's basically line up in big formation and giving the ball to the running back, which is a very good backup running back. He could be a starter on many teams, and he's going to try to pick a hole and go to the house with it. But they do really well by that, because they do really well by the play action as well, because they have a quarterback who can also run the ball. He can throw the ball. He threw three deep bombs on Ohio State, and which opens up the run. And so they're going to get down in the red zone and bully you and try to just run it down your throat. And the quarterback is a two-way quarterback. He can pass the ball really well, and he's also has some big legs. So, yes, we have our work cut out for us, but I believe we have a fast enough defense to control all that. So with that being said, I really am looking forward to the matchup, because I really would love to know the game plan on how to stop all three of those situations. But again, I think you don't stop it. I think you just play hard enough to wear them out and then let them start making mistakes, and we capitalize on it.
So you think, for the most part, we kind of lean a little bit on that speed from the TCUD, and then just kind of, again, the bend don't break mentality. So you're not expecting a ton of blitzes in this particular game. It's more about containment of McCarthy and just try to go at him head to head and wear him down as the game goes on.
Yep, with a 3-3 look or 3-4 look that we have, whatever it is at times, we're going to – the linebackers, I'm telling you now, guys, the linebackers are going to have to fill the holes. They're going to. They have to, because they're going to up front. They're big on big, and they outweigh us on the front line. I don't know about strength and all that. I know we're a strong football team. I can't account for what they are. I can only account by what they're supposed to be based off the conference they play in, right? So we don't flow downhill, and we don't get in our gaps. This running back's going to have a field day on us. So that's my thing. I'm trying, you know, because we also know the complete game that we played from a defensive standpoint was against Texas. The linebackers are flying around, filling the holes. They shut off the running back there, who's supposed to be the, you know, the best running back in the league or in the country, and we shut him down. And so if we can do that and get the quarterback throwing, at least have that, and where our secondary can fly around and potentially have some picks, I think that will be the game plan. You got to shut something off. I'm not saying we can shut it all off, but you got to either shut the quarterback down or the running back, if not both. So we have our work cut out for us, but I'm excited to see how we make the adjustments based off film and see how the thing's going to transpire on the field.
Well, Nathan, you know, that brings up a good point. If we're able to stop the run, or if we're able to not necessarily stop it, I think Shannon makes a good point. Slow it down, bring the level of, you know, damage that very talented running back and running quarterback combination that Michigan has down to a minimum. That does put more stress then on the defensive backfield. And how do you feel about TCU's chances, especially given a month for these guys to get healthy? How do you think that TCU's defensive backfield stacks up against this talented wide receiver core that Michigan has?
I definitely think it's a tough game for them. You know, like, we've kind of come up in this conference where, you know, we've got, like, played teams like Ohio State or Iowa State, and can't think of the other one, but, like, where they just have bigger tight ends, bigger receivers. And we've had to play against that. And, you know, we've had times where we've held our own, and we've had times where it has exposed us a little bit. But I think that if we can be physical, we can't let them be more physical. And then that's going to come down to the whole offense versus our whole defense. We just have to win the physical battles. But if we can stay in their head and stay physical and just kind of let them make the mistakes, then I think that we'll be okay. We just can't get caught like we did against K-State, where we just have some guy running down the middle of the field wide open, just leaving gaps open. Can't have busting coverages. That's my biggest thing. Just everybody's got to play smart. You've got a month to learn this offense, to learn your coverages where you need to be. You just can't have it. Can't have bust.
Yeah, hopefully the coaches have them ready for that, and they've watched enough tape on this, and they know their assignments, and hopefully getting healthy, taking a month to get healthy, is certainly going to allow them to kind of get back to full strength. And Nick, you know, physicality, is a big part of the at least the stat line in this particular game and the early storyline too. A lot of the media is talking again, and Horned Frog fans are familiar with this. If you go back to 2010 against Wisconsin, Wisconsin was supposed to be the bigger, tougher team, was going to push small little TCU around the Rose Bowl like it was nobody's business. And the same thing is happening now. Again, the Big 12, you know, Michigan Wolverines are going to push around the small TCU Horned Frogs all over the field. And physicality seems to be this kind of, you know, linchpin in a lot of these stories that we're reading in the media. How do you feel the Frogs stack up physically against a team like Michigan?
I think they match up pretty well. The thing is just a matter of who's going to break first. I don't think TCU is going to break first. And I think TCU defense has got to find a way to break McCarthy's rhythm, you know, the quarterback, but find a way to break his rhythm. As I've been doing my research a little bit over the past few weeks, watching some highlights when Michigan State played them. Michigan State did a very good job when they played Michigan by limiting some big plays from their tight ends and their slot receivers and shutting that down. Now, granted, they didn't do too good against the run, but I'm pretty sure Dex is finding a way to, you know, figure out how to stop their run. And that just goes back to what Nate is saying, Nate and Shannon, just communication, making sure everybody's not busting up their coverages and whatnot, and just make sure everybody's communicating. And that looks good. I'm coming over for a plate.
Well, you know, Shannon, Nick makes a good point. I mean, these tight ends that Michigan has, they're very physical. They're over the middle game is fantastic. I mean, it's probably one of the better tight end units I think we've seen in college football this year. As a linebacker, knowing that you've got to stop the run, how do you kind of deal with that on the field, kind of dealing with the fact that I know I've got to be able to stop the run, but then I also have this big threat of these tight ends coming over in my space?
Film study. Bottom line is you got to know every play. You got to know big formations. You got to know it's receivers off the line, on the line. You got to know, you know, they have to know they're going to have to communicate between the strong safety, linebacker, even the safety at times. It's just going to have to be pure communication. You've got to account for them every single play. I know from a linebacker standpoint, you're 100% run first. I mean, 100% run first, even when you know it's pass. You have to come downhill a couple steps and then react to the pass. With that, you're just going to have to get there. We're going to have to get hands up front. You know, with those guys being big, quarterbacks being he's a pretty lengthy guy. I don't know if we per se have the height up front to really just knock down balls and get in his face, but all those things are going to have to play a part. Hands up when you're close, when you're not going to get the sack. You know, throw him off any kind of way you can. But you're going to have to at least know he's there every single play, because those 5 yards can turn into first downs or even more. So we can, again, we have to find, I'm not asking us to be perfect, because to be perfect is asking you to shut down the tight end, shut down the run, shut down the quarterback and the receivers. We don't have the ability to do that around the board. We're going to have to pick our poison and then hope it lands in our favor by making the big play. And that's big hits, interceptions, fumbles after the catch, things of that nature. All that's going to have to play into the football game from a defensive standpoint. Because we're going to know that. We have to know that. And I think they know that. I think Coach Sonny Dyson, defensive coordinator, knows, listen, we're not going to be able to shut it all down, but we need to shut down their high percentage plays to where we knock those out of their repertoire, if you will, and at least gives us a chance to make big plays.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it can't come down to you have to be perfect. I mean, you have to be in your spot. You can't make mistakes. But yeah, if you're trying to play to be perfect, you know, one mistake leads to another mistake leads to another mistakes, and things just kind of go downhill after that. And, you know, Nathan, to that point, the defensive backfield, do you feel like we're going to see more of a zone like we've seen the last couple of weeks? We saw it during the Kansas State game. Or do you think Sonny's going to have this team kind of more in man coverage and kind of be on that island?
I think that they'll mix it up. I don't think it's going to be specifically one thing. I think we will have to be in a lot of man to stop a run and just count on people, you know, making the plays that they need to make. And like what Shannon was saying, like if there's weak, and Sean, you know how I feel about this. cannot drop picks. Cannot drop picks. So we've got to be in that situation, be able to capitalize on turnovers. But yeah, I don't think we'll go too heavy one direction. I think whatever, if we're in man, it's not working. I think they'll be smart enough to make defensive adjustments to kind of come out in zone in the second half. But yeah, I think we'll have to be in man a little bit more to stop the run. And then, you know, God forbid, you know, we jump out to a lead. They'll have to start passing more. So we'll obviously come a little bit more to zone.
And to piggyback off that, Nate, most of their big plays, especially against Ohio State, came against one-on-one matchups, came against man. Ohio State had to switch it up because he was killing a one-on-one. He was ripping them apart. So I believe, seeing that being one of the last games they play, being that it's us and they think they're going to take those chances, I think we're going to come out in more zone. I would hope we come out more zone than anything right now. I think that gives us a better chance to stop them.
We'll have to disguise a lot.
And I see we can't do one-on-one, but we're just not the tallest team to do one-on-one.
No.
You know what I mean? Hopkins is the best quarterback in the country, but he's only 5'10". I'll give you that.
He got that dog in him, though.
Yeah, we've had that issue.
Got the dog in him.
Like I was saying, with matchups, having to play against bigger teams. It was the same thing when, you know, we played Stanford in the Alamo Bowl and Ole Miss. I mean, they have bigger receivers, but we just have to be able to play to their size. We got to play bigger than what we are.
Well, I think this team definitely can rise to that challenge. I don't think that there is necessarily as big of a size discrepancy as the media is actually playing this up to. And I think a lot of that just has to come down to the fact that there's a little bit of a perception among the national media that the Big 12 is this kind of smaller, faster air raid style offense, which I think the league has kind of abandoned over the last several years. It's kind of gone to a more balanced attack offensively across the board. But the Big Ten continues to have this perception of being kind of the big bullies on the block when it comes to size and it comes to physicality. I think our defensive backfield, I think speed makes up for a lot. And I think that McCarthy, and I might be wrong on this, but I made this comment earlier this week. I think that the TCU defense, the speed of this defense, is going to be something that McCarthy has not seen all year long. And I know the comparisons are already being made to Ohio State, but I think even if you go back and you take a look at Ohio State in and of themselves, I think they're kind of built a little bit differently than this TCU defense. They're not necessarily built around, you know, if you make a small little mistake in your coverage, the speed makes up for it on the back end, like on the TCUD, and you play tough, you play physical, you play a little bit bigger than you normally are, because a lot of the receivers in this conference are a whole lot bigger than the cornerbacks. Whereas the Ohio State defense is more of a physical first, speed second kind of style defense. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how McCarthy can actually adjust to that. And going back to Nick, what you were saying about the Michigan State game, a lot of the things, and going back to what Nathan was talking about, disguising some of the different packages that we're actually doing, I think that really helped Michigan State in that passing game, was disguising a lot of the stuff that they were doing. And I don't think McCarthy picked up on a lot of it until about midway through the third quarter. Once he did, though, he was able to actually make some adjustments. But by then, the running game was, you know, so far gone. I mean, they couldn't stop the run even if they wanted to. I think that's going to be a big difference here. And Shannon, having these linebackers back and healthy, how big is that for this defense?
Well, it's big, and because in the past, I mean, again, different staff, I understand that. But in the past, judging them, our defense was always built around the linebackers and the DNs, if you will. And we hadn't had, you know, they're playing well this year, don't get me wrong, but we've always had some type of star DN, some type of, you know, linebacker that was, I mean, making, you know, 10-plus tackles a game, things of that nature. So it's going to be big. I believe we are better hole fillers than anything with our linebackers, but they're going to have to cover. This is where we're going to have to see them cover. If not, we're going to have to run a defense to where they have help over the top and the safeties can't play so deep. They're going to have to really protect that middle/deep middle because I'm really not worried about the outside stuff when it comes to our secondary and corners, and safeties. And so we're going to have that soft spot, I think they will try to explore it. over the middle, deep middle, right behind the linebackers in that honey hole right there, if you will, especially with the tight ends and the crossing routes. So we're going to have to – our linebackers are going to have to play a good game. And I'm so glad that they're healthy because now we have good rotation, and we're going to have some speed coming from there. But my only concern with the linebackers is not so much in the secondary right now. It's, I believe, back to my point, we need to use them to stop the run. They have to be the run fillers, and I think everything else going to have to come from the secondary.
Well, in that case, you would think then the safeties would have to play up a little bit more, and then McCarthy's looking for the deep ball, right?
Yes.
On possibly one-on-one coverage by the cornerbacks. And, you know, in that case, you know, how susceptible is TCU now to the big play?
And that's what I'm saying. If we're hitting the holes on time and it comes into that speed, I think we can get to him. I think when we hit the holes, I think because of our speed and strength, that we'll be able to get some pressure on him, giving him that one-on-one opportunity with the cornerbacks, which I'm fine with as long as they have over-the-top help with the safeties. So I think that's the scheme. Again, you can't cover it all. We have to pick our poison. Are we okay with the tight end dumps for, you know, 10, 12 yards or the deep ball? You take away the deep ball, you take away the run game, you live with that middle part. You live with that because at the end of the day, you can stop that. You can rally around that, get them into the red zone. Now it's fair game. So, and I believe we're a decent red zone team, if you will. I don't know the stats on that, but I've seen us have some big stops this year in the red zone. So, again, you're going to have to live with something. You're going to have to live and die with something. We just got to make sure it doesn't kill us.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's something that a lot of TCU fans kind of have to get used to with this particular defense. And let's be honest, I mean, this defense has been pretty solid, given the fact, again, that this is not exactly the personnel that this staff specifically wants to build this defense around. And this defense had to learn a completely different scheme. Now, a lot of those guys played in a similar scheme in high school, but this is a completely different unit than what we saw last year, obviously. But, man, I tell you, the one thing I think that a lot of TCU fans don't give Gillespie and his team and his staff a lot of credit about is the fact that they have just really done a fantastic job with the pieces that they have, and that these players have responded very well to what is being asked of them. And I really want to see, because we all know if this was Gary Patterson and we said, hey, you have a month to plan for a team, I think there's not a single one of us that would say, no way, this team isn't going to be ready for it. And this is going to be the first time that we've seen a Sonny Dykes coach team have to play at this big of a stage. And I'm curious to see what his staff is going to be able to pull up and what their game plan is going to look like and how well the team is going to adjust to that. But given what we've seen all year long, I don't have a whole lot of doubts that the staff isn't going to have this team ready to go.
Well, you make a good point, Sean. With the bye week happening so early on in the season, us having to adapt week in, week out, I can play devil's advocate on that because the staff has proven to be week in and week out adjusters. As we know, we're usually down at halftime. We make great adjustments and we come out and win the game.
Yeah, I was going to say first half, second half adjustments.
Right.
Right.
So to your Patterson comment, me, as of today, would feel more comfortable because of the unknown if this was a Patterson situation. But it's not. Therefore, I don't know what we're going to get right now based off us not knowing this new staff and taking that into this consideration. You see what I'm saying? So I'm hopeful that that can happen. I think it will based off what they've given us. But I don't know. And so, therefore, I'm hoping that we've watched enough film and we've done everything we need to get healthy and all those things and then come out knowing this team inside and out, because you're going to have to know this team inside and out. That was the beauty, as Nathan knows, with Coach Patterson. When they step on the field in a bowl game, they know that team inside and out, meaning they know who they're rotating, they know what plays they're running, when they're going to run them, what downs they're going to run them, all that stuff. Because most teams that feel they're going to beat you, they run what they run. I believe Michigan, like I said before, they're going to line up and run what they've been running. They're not adding extra plays. They're not doing they're not scared of us to go in and say we're going to put in a new package. They're not going to do that. So I'm hoping that plays into our favor, because they're playing bully ball, cocky ball, and said we're just going to line up and beat these guys, point blank, period. If they do that and we make the adjustments of knowing them the way we know them, and then we switch up some things, that's what we've been able to do, then it's going to run in our favor. But we'll see. There's a lot of unknowns there. I'm just feeling comfortable that we've played all year making first half, second half adjustments really well, winning the ball games.
You know, everybody's got a plan until you hit them in the mouth. So the good thing about this team that we've seen is that when they've been hit in the mouth, they've responded. So that part doesn't worry me. It honestly kind of calms me down a little bit, because I know you've probably all seen it. Some people might not have seen it. We have, I think, 5 players that have been to a bowl game on this team. So it's a different environment for a lot of people. There's a lot more distractions than a bowl game. You got all the gifts that you get. You've got the different crowds, the fans, the new city that you've got to adjust to. You've got all this stuff coming from the outside, and like, you got a different practice facility. You're just out of your comfort zone a little bit. And so that part kind of worries me, of like how they'll respond to that. But I think they'll do a good job of studying, making adjustments, because, you know, like Shannon said, we've done that. With bowl games, like we've mentioned, you have a little bit more time to do that. It's our first time to have a bye week, as Shannon mentioned, since week 3, I think, right? And so we've had to learn how to adapt week to week to week to week. You don't get a lot of time to do that. And so now that they have had time, I think they'll be able to come up with a good defensive game plan. Like Shannon mentioned, like when it was under Coach Patterson, dude, there was no worry about whether or not we were going to know what was going on. The amount of trick plays that we had to run for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes every single day. And if we completed it, line up, do it again. I had to run like the same play like 8 times in a row until they stopped it. And it just, you get it eventually, and then comes to the game, you're like, oh wait, this is so easy. Like, they were able to get us so prepared for that. And so I don't doubt that they're going to be prepared. It's just a matter of how they're going to respond once the game gets going, because they're a big physical football team. I'm not going to deny that, but we've handled big physical football teams before. We've been hitting them out before. So that part kind of calms me down a little bit.
Well, Shannon,
before you go there, Sean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Speaking of gifts, man, I get jealous when I've seen so many. Listen, Nate knows this. My God, when that's what you look forward to when you get off the bus and you go to your hotel room, they have gifts everywhere. I've seen some of these gifts on social media. I'm jealous, man. I'm like, man, just the clothes that they got were just flawless. Nike did a really good job, and whoever designed that stuff, the gift bags are awesome. And so I'm just like, man, how can I play, you know, water boy or something, get a gift, look, get a good bag.
when people try to give me a hard time about me not making our team in 2014 not making the playoffs, I had to sit them down and tell them, like, look, you don't understand how much I missed out on because we didn't make it. We missed out on a whole other set of bowl gifts, because you would have won the national championship. You get a whole other set. And so that part honestly made me more mad than anything. Obviously, I wanted to go to playoffs. We would have won it. But me as a person that does not play, I was like, you know what? I wanted the freaking bowl gifts. Like, but we got good stuff. So
okay. Anyway, sorry, Sean. I just had to throw it out there.
No, I that was going to be one of part of my question actually to you, Shannon, and you know, Nathan brings up the dynamic, the change between the regular season grind to now suddenly you're in this totally new situation with a bowl game. And I know back when you were on the team, like I was going to point out, you know, you didn't get like PlayStations as a gift when you're playing in a bowl game or, you know, a college playoff game, you know, and there isn't this whole NIL stuff that's going on. And there's several threads on the board about, you know, some of the New Year's Eve parties that are going to go on that just look just ridiculous. But that atmosphere, that change, the whole week running up to the bowl game, how much is that a distraction? And how did you guys handle that the first time?
Well, for us, man, I'll be honest with you. It's a good thing that they get there a week ahead of time, because you get a chance to get the ooh and the ah out of the way. Because our games, we were just happy to be in a bowl game, you know, Sun Bowl, Alamo Bowl, Mobile Bowl, excuse me. And so, you know, the first time around playing USC, you know, getting there, and guys, you know, if you're old enough, you remember the DVD players that really just hit the scene. And so we got the DVD players that had like three or four DVD, you know, you could load so many at one time. That was big back then, right? You got the, you know, I don't know why they gave us hair blowers, but we got hair blowers. I gave that to my mom for Christmas and stuff like that. You know, some of the gifts were like, whatever. But, you know, when you get that out of the way, and then they have the parties for you, they have all this stuff for you with the team, meet and greets and all that. I feel like the coaches have to control it from 2 days out. Coach Franchione back then, he took us from El Paso to a place in Mexico or whatever it was, New Mexico or whatever. We crossed the border. When he took us away from the families, he took us away from everybody, put us in another hotel and said, "We dial in right now, guys. When you get off the bus, we're dialed in." So it was actually the day before. And so it was preparation as if we were home. Nobody talks. Everybody puts in their earphones. Whatever you're going to do, it's silent. It was just, I didn't mind it, but you couldn't talk. Like, it was just, you're dialed in. The only way you spoke is when in the meetings where you could speak. Even at the dinner and lunch and all that, you had to be dialed in. You could walk in here, pin drop. And what that allowed us is to get focused, to get kind of zone out all the outside noise. We didn't see fans and nobody else until we stepped off until we got into the stadium when it was time to play, because we got there early, nobody was there. We got a locker room, went through game time preparation. They started calling everybody out, you know, within, you know, punters, kickers, blah, blah, blah. That's the only time we saw people. When we got in the locker room right beforehand, the locker room erupted. It erupted because of whoever gave the speech and all that. And that's when it all came out. And that's when I knew we were ready. And so, for the first bowl game that we beat USC, and we bring it to them. I think that's how you do it. Coach Sonny Dice is going to have to, at some point, at this stage in the game, with this type of game and history being on the line, he's going to have to be the one to police that. So, because the players, this is new to them. They don't know how to, right? As Nathan said, there's only been five people on that team in the bowl game. Everybody else is fresh to it, new to it. So you have to really police it and get those guys ready to go, and that starts with Sonny Dykes, Coach Dykes.
Yeah, so Nathan, that brings up a good point. In 2014, what did Coach P do with you guys? Because, I mean, that was a, you know, New Year's Six Bowl. It was, you know, a totally different atmosphere than your typical bowl game. Did you guys, I don't remember, were you guys staying kind of outside of Atlanta, or were you staying actually in Atlanta?
We were in downtown Atlanta, not that far from the stadium. It was a different stadium at the time, so it wasn't the new Mercedes, whatever.
Yeah,
the
Georgia Dome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we were staying in downtown Atlanta. I hate to say it, he really didn't have to do that much. He did his typical Coach B stuff, that's what you expected, but we were just so fired up for that game. Like, we were pissed off because we got left out of the playoff. All we heard everywhere we went, and Shannon knows, you go to all these places, you see all the fans, and we were in SEC country. So everywhere we went, it was just all Georgia, or not Georgia, Ole Miss people, or not even necessarily Ole Miss, just SEC fans, just like, "Oh, good luck this weekend. Y'all are going to need it." Like, all this stuff, talking all this crap. And it just added so much motivation to us. Like, just like, oh, like, you saw, like, we were doing the Landshark thing the whole time at them. It motivated us so much. Even today, I was literally at work, and I have these purple TCU pants on or whatever. And some Georgia fan is like, "Well, it's going to be a different type of game for y'all now. Like, I got them winning by 21, but good luck to y'all. I mean, I'm rooting for you." But I was like, "Really, dude?" Like, I even brought it up. I was like, "Yeah, that's what everyone said does in 2014, too." So, there.
I would have told the Georgia fan, "Well, if I was a Georgia fan, I wouldn't want to face TCU in a few weeks either." So I understand why.
Also, I'm on 1%, so if my phone dies.
Oh, okay.
Just letting you
know. Thanks for letting us know. We learned something new about Nathan. He doesn't charge his phone.
Not when I'm at work.
Yeah.
Nice. That's making all these bowl games sound cool. I missed that. I played the wrong sport. I should have played football instead of basketball.
could have told you that long ago.
Well, yeah, you guys got March. I mean, you have an entire freaking month devoted to you right. guys. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
NAIA, right?
Yeah,
they do all right at NAIA. Not NCAA is a different story, but NAIA, treat us like a little brother.
But a loyal little brother.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, this is one of those kind of things that TCU fans were hoping this was 2014 was going to turn into, being in that inaugural playoff game. But, you know, here we are, you know, 8 years later, we finally kind of come back to the table and TCU is in the playoff against Michigan. It's going to be one to remember regardless of what we end up seeing on the field. But before Nathan's phone dies, let's go ahead and let's get everybody's prediction here. And Nathan, let's lead off with you. Prediction score.
I got it on the charger.
Oh, he found a charger. Ladies and gentlemen, he found a phone charger. Good for you. Well, we'll still lead off with you. What do you think? Score prediction, TCU, Michigan in the Fiesta Bowl.
I'm gonna do a guest pick. My roommate Zeller, ironically, same last name as Ryan. He's gonna predict the score for us.
Ooh,
for
which one?
Ours.
For ours?
TCU, Michigan.
I'm not gonna show him because he's stuffed his face with food. So
we're gonna be Gonna be,
remember, this isn't a video podcast. It's the audio variety.
To 21. We're gonna blow them out.
Said 31-21.
Yeah,
Frogs.
All right.
Well, he said they're only gonna get their 21 at the end of the game.
Yep. Yeah,
trying to catch up.
Okay, all garbage time. Is that it?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're gonna give up three touchdowns in garbage time, but hopefully
somebody
not. Did
I would hope not.
No. Not at all. All right. Nick, what do you think?
I asked mom. She said 24-13 TCU.
Man, everyone's asking somebody else. So I'll put down Nick's mom says 24-13 TCU. Okay, that'll work. All right. Shannon, you going to ask Mrs. Hall of Fame?
No, I'm not, because she could care less. She just wants us to win. I'm going to go 23-21 TCU. I think it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a close one. I think it's going to come down to the wire. I know we're not going to have a special team addition, and I'm thinking we should get one there. I'm hoping that we can I think we can run a punt return back on these guys because of our speed. But I think it's going to be a close one, man, 23-21.
Yeah, I think it's going to be somewhat close as well. I'm going to go 34-27 TCU. So I definitely have us with the biggest score of the game. But I agree. I think it's going to be a one-score kind of game. It's going to be kind of come down to that. But I do think it's going to be a fun one, that's for sure, and one for the books. Well, no, Nathan?
I spell fun blowout.
Yeah, a fun one would be a blowout. Yeah, something. So if it was a fun blowout game, Nathan Hernandez, not Zeller, Nathan, what would your prediction be?
Are we talking, if I wanted a blowout? I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I'll give mine. I'm going 37-33.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take it.
A blowout in this game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that definitely. Especially if they get 21 of their 33 in garbage time. We'll see how it goes.
It's going to be a fun one, guys. It's going to be a fun one, Frog Nation. Can't wait. I'm excited for history to be made. It hadn't been done in a long time around our parts, and it's just that time, man. It's just that time. I feel it in my gut, and I'm so excited for Frog Nation and all the other frogs that have jumped on board, and you see them everywhere. I see more guys, more women, more kids with TCU stuff on in my part of the woods I've ever seen ever. And I'm like, man, it's so good to just pick up these fans along the way, because we're that institution where we're likable. And we're not ever given a chance, and it's easy to adapt us. It's easy to come on board with us versus some school that, like, let's say Baylor.
One of these days, we're going to have to talk about that Armed Forces Bowl performance.
Yes, please.
Oh, my God.
The fact that they lost
with Baylor and bowl games. Goodness.
The fact that they lost to TCU and lost at TCU in 1 year is awesome.
Beautiful.
Right.
It is beautiful.
They lost to TCU at home, and then they lost at TCU. Yeah, that's a lovely bookend to their season. So fantastic.
A little too cold for them.
Well, it's. We'll have to talk about that later.
Like this, it's cold. It's cold being in Frog Country.
It is, especially if you're a bear and wearing the green and the gold. Well, we are all going to certainly enjoy the Fiesta Bowl this Saturday, but that does mean we have come to the end of the podcast. We will be back after the game. Nathan and I will definitely fire up the podcast and we'll record something. If Shannon and or Nick can get on, that would be great as well. We'll talk about the game afterwards, and we'll have this ready to go for hopefully some of you as you guys are traveling back to the great state of Texas with what we hope to be a Frog win in your rearview mirror. And with that, we have come to the end of this week. We want to thank everybody out there who's listening to the podcast. Of course, you can find the Killer Frogs on all the major podcasting platforms between Apple and Google, Stitcher and Spotify, and of course, now on Amazon Podcasts as well. Everybody has a podcasting platform. And, of course, you can go to killfrogs.com and you can read all about TCU Athletics, or just go to the forum and sign up for a free account and let us know, what do you think the score is going to be in the Fiesta Bowl as TCU face off against Michigan, or, you know, what your roommate or your mom thinks the score is going to be for the Fiesta Bowl. We don't care. We don't discriminate. We'll take all comers. So with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs.
Go Frogs.
Happy New Year, baby. Let's get it.
Ribbit.